begins now. And it begins with Wildy's Mailbox. Now, again, I've been a little busy. I was listening to Tausch and I talk from last night, so I didn't want to miss any good stuff that might have been included there that I missed live because I was busy dealing with him being a knucklehead. So I didn't get to put together a montage of the old school Wildy's Mailbox. But Jesse, we're already getting calls and texts with questions. This might not have been the worst idea ever.
I don't think so. I told you today was going to work just fine. You wouldn't even notice we didn't have an official cousin sub
today.
Well,
let's get through the entire show.
You want to start with a text or a call first? Because there is a text that directly relates to the love contract. I don't know if the call will do that.
All right, let's do the text first, and then we'll do the call in the next segment because we're already behind, even though Tausch isn't
true. Yeah, it's his fault. All right, Big Pete in G-Town.
Wow, this is nifty. We got a new font.
Well, it's just large. I don't know if...
But you can see through it, too. Like, I could... If I put my hand over here, you can actually see my hand behind the words on the video.
Good morning, says Big Pete in G-Town. Could you please explain, one, is $75 million signing bonus part of the $155 million guaranteed? You want to start with that?
No, ask the second question, then we'll start all the way from... We'll work our way down.
Is $75 million on top of the $220 million? For the contract.
No, Big Pete in Germantown or Green Bay or Greenleaf or whatever the G-Town might be. All right, so let's start. He got a $220 million contract, okay? And if you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, I got my hands up here near my five-head forehead, okay? Now, as part of that $220 million, $155 million of it is fully guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter's reporting. Now, I think today would be the day that that contract will hit the NFLPA database, and we should have more specifics that are directly from the contract so we can be a little more deliberate in our description of that. So you got $220 million overall value. Of that, $155 million is guaranteed. And of that $155 million that's guaranteed, $75 million of it is in the form of a signing bonus. Now, generally speaking, signing bonuses are paid in full at time of signing. In Jordan's case, I don't understand this. I think it was Mike Florio that had this report. The Packers have made money hand over fist. They have $700 million or whatever in their reserve fund. They got a lot of money. But they're not paying him $75 million in one lump sum. They paid him $25 million already. They're going to pay him another $25 million in October. Maybe there's tax reasons for that. Again, I am not an accountant nor an NFL agent. He is getting $75 million plus his salary for 2024 right now this year. But he's not. They could have given him the big Publishers Clearinghouse check with $75 million, a lot of zeros, right away. But that is included. So the rest of the $80 million guaranteed is in other forms, salaries, etc. Again, we'll get a better look at it in the coming days. But what's important here, in my opinion, and this is the cost of doing business with a quarterback, is that the Packers like to only guarantee the signing bonus. Like, look at Xavier McKinney. He got a big signing bonus, like $29 million, something, somewhere in that range. But that's all that's guaranteed. There's not a lot more guaranteed beyond that. That's how the Packers like to do it. And then, again, I don't want to get too bogged down, but when you take the signing bonus, you can then prorate a portion of that signing bonus over each year of the contract. So since Love is under contract for this year, it's 5 years. $75 million times divided by 5 is $15 million. So you count $15 million a year. It's an accounting maneuver to make it more affordable. So that is what has happened here. So if he earns every penny possible, he will get $220 million. Again, I don't think if he plays the way everyone seems to expect him to, including myself, that we'll never get to the final year of this deal. He'll have been extended again, and he'll have gotten another big, gigantic roster signing bonus, a big guarantee again, and it'll be just like they did with Favre and with Rodgers. You don't wait around. If he doesn't play quite up to that standard, then it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because bottom line, they did leave themselves some outs with not giving him as much guaranteed money. I think I saw it would appear that he's 10th in terms of the most guaranteed money in a contract. So that's he's still got a lot guaranteed, don't get me wrong. But that's how they hedged. And while Tausch and I bandied back and forth the idea of who won, he really did say that they both won, even though he said that Jordan Love won, because he kept saying that I told you the Packers were going to win on structure. Well, that's a win, because structure matters. If for some reason he stinks or he becomes injury prone or for whatever reason they decide they don't want him as their quarterback anymore, they're more. It's still going to be hard to get out of the deal, but it's easier under these circumstances. You don't think Cleveland, there's part of Cleveland that is wishing they could get out from under this Deshaun Watson deal?
A lot of Cleveland.
Yeah. So this is the cost of doing business. All right. So that is our first Wildy's Mailbox question. Great question from, was it Dave in G-Town?
Big Pete.
In G-Town. We will
it's our
take
leadoff hitter.
So we're going to take calls and we're going to take texts on the talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We will take your calls and your texts for Wildy's Mailbox. Jesse, we didn't come up with like any special like music or anything for Wildy's Mailbox.
I was
going to
last night, but
you know what we need? We need Steve from Blues Clues, Old School Blues Clues.
Yeah.
Here's the mail, it never fails. Yeah? Yeah? No? Yeah? Come on.
It's pretty good, yeah.
We should track that down. I'm sure Hunter Vaughn would find it for us. All right.
I could sing it for you. I love Blues Clues.
No, I think I'm good. We will get to more of your questions. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. You can ask me questions while others are asking Rich Bisaccia questions at Lambeau Field. The question I always have is, do you need some extra money? If you do, Fortrea has an easy way for you to make that extra money, and Tausch will tell us about that coming up next. After Tausch tells us about Fortrea, we'll get to more Wildy's Mailbox. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Well, we all are looking to get a little extra cash in our pockets, and if that's you, head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. They have a bunch of different studies that will do exactly that, put a little cash in your pocket. Healthy men, ages 18 to 55 with a body mass index of 18 to 32. The study involves one stay of 6 nights, and you can be compensated up to $3,290 for your time and participation if you refer a friend. $200 per qualified referral. They also have studies looking for healthy adults, ages 18 to 60. Body mass index between 18 and 32. That study involves one stay of 14 nights, 11 follow-up visits, and woo, dog, you can be compensated up to $13,006 for your time and participation. Just head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing our Tauschless Cousin Sub of the Day list edition of Wildy and Tausch. Although we did get 35 minutes of Tausch from last night's Digi Only. Again, if you either missed that at the beginning of today's show or you missed it last night, you can find it on our YouTube channel. You'll find it in all podcast forms a little bit later on today. But let's get to the phones. We're doing a little Wildy's Mailbox. I will get Steve and Blue's Clues up to continue to drive the audience. I see it.
Here. Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
Nicely done. Thank you for your service. Gotta love Steve and Blue and Magenta and the whole crew.
Paprika.
Paprika, yeah, yeah. Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper, or Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper, whatever it was.
I always felt really smart when I could figure out the clues before anyone else I was watching. Was like, oh, I know what it is.
This is right in your wheelhouse of your youth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is your Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers for me.
It's probably why I love, like, crime dramas now. Blue's Clues kind of trained us that.
Because you like to solve the mystery.
Figure out the mini series where it's mysteries. Like, I love those.
Yeah, you got your notebook. I actually, hold on a second. Among all the things I have in here, I have Steve.
Oh, look at that.
He's even got his handy dandy notebook. So we will we'll continue.
Why do you have that?
There's a story behind it. Once upon a time, I'm messing up all this other stuff. You have a lot of junk in your office. It makes it very hard to move things around. Once upon a time, I had a friend who had kids, and I didn't have kids yet, and so I was kind of the fun uncle, and it was really fun to kind of get into that stuff. So I actually have a picture of me at an amusement park that had a Blue's Clues setup. And I had my own Blue's Clues shirt. It was really fun. So those were the good old days.
Nice.
When I was much younger. And you were much, much younger and watching the show as a child.
I might have been there, too.
Let's get to the calls. Okay, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Justin in Middleton. Justin, thanks for holding on. Good morning. What do you got for Wildy's Mailbox?
Good morning. Before I get to Willie's mailbox, Jesse will appreciate this. I said this on the Saturday show that I called into, but shout out to Quinn Miners. He got a 4-year, $72 million contract, like $42 million guaranteed. Grew up in Hartford, went to UW Whitewater, so he bring in the bag. And if you're not familiar with this story, like literally he was hanging out with his family, and the Broncos surprisingly drafted him in the third round. So congratulations to Quinn Miners. I am I've called him before, and I'm a Broncos fan, so good for him. So yeah.
I know his agent, Ron Slavin, who was based in Madison for a long time, went to UW Whitewater too. So go Warhawks!
There you go.
And congratulations.
All right.
What's your question, Justin?
So my question is, what is your favorite story of covering Chewy? I know a lot of his stories are not necessarily G-rated because, you know, this is a G-rated show. But what are some of your favorite stories from covering Chewy?
Would you say that we're a G-rated show? I feel like we're at least PG, and there are times where it's maybe PG-13.
We're mostly G. Yeah, we get into the P. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were definitely not.
We're bordering on FCC
depends
violations.
Depends on current events, really, is what it comes down
it's
to.
Very, very fair. Justin, really good question. Obviously, I have a lot of history with covering Chewy, and I will say this, and I tease him for this all the time. He had, depending on your perspective, the best locker location in the old locker room or the worst. It was the worst if you wanted to be able to have access to him as a reporter. It was the best if you didn't want reporters to have access to you. It was like it jutted into the wall. So like against the wall, there was a wall of lockers here, and then there was a wall of lockers that ran perpendicular along the longest wall of the locker room. And his was in the back corner, but the lockers from the other wall came out. So his was actually, like if he was sitting in his locker, he would have been facing the side of the last locker on that wall. So it was really tough to get to him. And I think he liked that. He loved to be difficult when it came to being available. Now you can't get him to shut up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every weekday, 7 to 9 across ESPN Wisconsin. But I would say this. I think, you know, and I understand he obviously There were some other things that went on during his life that he struggled through. But I do think that the best story was the fact that those three knuckleheads, Favre, Winters, and Chewy, became the Three Amigos. That was, we don't have enough of that kind of character stuff, right? Like we had, you know, the Hogs and the Fun Bunch for the 1980s Washington, then Redskins, right? You had with the Cowboys of the 90s, right? With, and again, the White House and everything that went on with that group, not exactly great either. But there were more, it felt like there were more characters. Like it almost feels like everyone's, like Jordan Love, definitely not a character, right? I mean, Jordan Love, even keeled, laid back. He's not colorful. Now maybe he'll become that now that he's gotten paid and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But there's just not a lot of characters. And those three, their stories of, I mean, they were modern day Max McGee, Paul Hornings. Not to the same degree, but they were in that kind of mix. And so we don't get a lot of that these days. Maybe that's for the best, but that was, look, Chewy was an outstanding player. Let's not lose sight of that. He was a fantastic player both in the run and in the pass game. Three-time Pro Bowler, could do everything, and now does everything and talks everything and forgets everything. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every weekday morning. Let's do a text here, Jesse. What do you got from the text line?
Yeah, this one is from RJ in Atlanta. What is Wildy's input on the Jordan Love hold-in? I thought it was interesting he was secretly throwing after practice. The hold-in was all a ploy to, on the surface, hold out, but behind the scenes be practicing.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. He was not practicing. What he was doing was not practice. Like, he was, I mean, he was throwing to equipment guys. So that ain't the same. And quite frankly, as I mentioned earlier, or maybe I mentioned it with Tausch during the Digi Only we replayed, he has looked rusty at times. And that is not a criticism of him, because he hadn't practiced. And you get better at football, you get better at anything by practicing, even if you're really good. That's why really good guys still have to practice too. And that was Matt LaFleur's point yesterday, was that's how important it is for guys to get that work. And he certainly has gotten more work in the last 2 days. But that other stuff, it just wasn't the same. And so now that he's back and fully practicing, it is very different. But look, let's also give him credit, because he could have just not shown up. And while he would have incurred fines by doing so, they could have negotiated more money in the contract to pay off the fines, and it would have been a net zero deal. A zero-sum game, as Tausch likes to call them.
It's like he's still here.
But he was there. His teammates had his back. So, you know, for those that were making it, oh, he's so selfish, I can't believe he's doing this, it was really not that big of a deal. But it was a hold in. He was not participating in practice. He was avoiding the fines. But his team was behind him, and I think had it lagged on, if this was still going on this week, it's a totally different conversation now. Because then you still got the offense struggling. You still got Sean Clifford struggling. And you're starting to say, okay, we're getting to the point where he needs to be here. I had said that if he didn't run out there on family night, that would be my first uh-oh marker.
So I have a question for you then, based on what you just said there, because we heard Aaron Rodgers say many times he didn't care about like what the perception was with the fans. He was going to do what he thought was right and all that stuff. Do you think that fan perception played any part in Love like showing up for practice because he only had the 1 year starting? And
No. This was all, okay. It was, I don't want to get fined. And if you don't come at all, you get fined. And so they clearly talked it over and said, look, our guy's not going to take the risk of getting hurt. I mean, they practiced in a freaking hurricane. That is dangerous if you have $220 million on the line. He stood out there in the rain and got soaked, but he didn't have to practice in it. And all it takes is one pass rusher to slip and fall into your knee, and you're not under contract for the big money. So he did what he needed to do. It was just business. His teammates had his back. It did not last for very long. I don't think we're going to be talking about it impacting their season. He practiced in the first padded practice of camp. He didn't miss a padded practice. So it ended up being a non-story. Had it lagged on, though, it would have been a big story. All right, we'll get to more of your Wildy's Mailbox questions coming up. Want to remind you, Paula and I were both at Fleet Farm separately over the weekend. I ran to get corn for our deer in the backyard. She ran. We went and looked for a bike for Maddie. She's outgrown her previous bike. She had to pick up some stuff for the yard. She wanted to get more bird seed. And we know that we can always shop the guaranteed best prices at Fleet Farm. They've got the lowest prices on all of our favorites this summer. And if you find a lower price, they will match it, so you will always save. Find deals on everything you need for your everyday life at Fleet Farm. And again, my everyday life does not include canning. Our big thing at our house now is smoothies. We got this high-powered Ninja blender, and the girls are wearing it out to make smoothies and smoothie bowls. But if you're into canning, well, canning season is apparently here. And Fleet Farm has everything you need to preserve, get it, your favorite fruits and veggies. They've got everything to get you started and everything from start to finish, like jars, spices, cookers, and more. Shop all your canning savings in-store or online at FleetFarm.com. More of Wildy's Mailbox straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Edition of Wildy and Tausch rolls on. Jesse, what else you got?
Yeah, this one comes from Don in Mayville. And this is kind of irritating for me because I was really... I was glad that we didn't do this last year, although I guess it came up for a brief moment last training camp. But now all the attention's been on Jordan Love, and now Don in Mayville, what is the status of the backup quarterback position? Is there one, or do they need to get a veteran backup? The window's open. Can't rely on maybe we have one.
Yeah, look, I think the new parlor game seems to be talk about how much Sean Clifford sucks. And I just don't think that that's a fair way to view this. Now, he threw more interceptions during the offseason program than you wanted to, him to now. Again, I think they wanted him to sort of take some chances in the offseason program and see what he can and can't do and kind of find his limitations, and he did that. And then he threw picks running the number one offense, which, by the way, he had never done before. He didn't get that much work with these guys. He admitted he had never thrown a pass to Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson before this camp because Jordan Love didn't miss practices. So if we're being realistic, let's not overreact and suddenly decide that now Sean Clifford is not good enough to be the backup quarterback. Now, I will say this. Yesterday in the two-minute drill, threes versus threes, Michael Pratt had a really nice field goal drive to finish practice. And Sean Clifford threw a pick that was supposed to be to Malik Heath that went right into Evan Williams' hands. Now, I saw the two of them talking in the locker room afterward. I don't know if that's Malik Heath stopping his route early, if that's Sean Clifford being inaccurate. I'll be honest, that's why you go to the locker room. I didn't get to talk to him. I will talk to them when I see them tomorrow. But that's the kind of stuff that you ask as a reporter to understand what happened instead of just dumping on Sean Clifford and saying he sucks. So he may not be good enough. Let's be honest. He may not be good enough to be the backup and win games if Jordan Love suffers an injury. But that question is a very valid question, and here's why. 2 years ago in 2022, 68 different quarterbacks started at least one game in the NFL. Last year, 66 different quarterbacks started at least one game. So the fact that Jordan Love made all 19 starts, including the playoffs, makes him one of the outliers. The odds of him doing that year in, year out for the next decade are against him. Aaron Rodgers, pretty damn durable, but he broke his collarbone twice. He missed a game with a concussion, and he played through a broken bone at the top of his knee, and he played through a broken thumb. We'll see what Jordan Love ends up playing through. We'll see how much time he misses. But the last thing you want is to have a really good team, have your quarterback miss, say, three games, and have those three games all be L's because you don't have anybody that can play a reasonable quality game at quarterback, and you go 0-3 in those games, and it ruins your playoff chances. So whether it's Sean Clifford or somebody else, they do need a good backup. I do think we are spoiled in Green Bay because Favre was indestructible. Rodgers was extremely durable and played through a bunch of injuries. And the times that they didn't have a guy, they lucked out in 13 and got Matt Flynn back, and they still made the playoffs that year. But in 17, when we had been sold a bill of goods of Brett Hundley was a really good player, turned out he wasn't. And all that time that Rodgers missed turned it into a lost season when they'd started the year 4-1. Everybody forgets that. And then it went to hell, and he came back for one game. They lost that game in Carolina. They put him back on injured reserve, and that was a wasted season leading into 18 when they didn't make the playoffs again.
So, and I don't want to sound like, not to be a slight on Homer, but I feel like, I feel like I'm going to talk in absolutes here for a moment.
Love it.
So, with Aaron Rodgers, we always said, like, if he misses half a season, it doesn't matter who the backup quarterback is. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, and even if they make the playoffs, they'll bow out quickly if he's not playing. How many games could Jordan Love miss, and you think the Packers still are a playoff team that he could, like, and I know that's a difficult, maybe irrational question to ask, but
it's not irrational. It's just really hard to answer because I don't know how good, and nor do the Packers know how good Sean Clifford is. How would Matt LaFleur's game plan change? I would assume that he would run Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon a ton in a game like that. Like, I would assume.
I guess the question is more like, are they good enough to stay afloat without Jordan Love? Is the rest of the cast good enough? Because without Aaron Rodgers, we knew that was many of those teams weren't Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, I don't know how many games they could afford to play without him, because I still don't know how great is he. Right? We've established what I think anyway is the floor for him. And I think his floor is good. Like, not pretty good, not decent. I think his floor is good. Trending toward very good. Is then on the spectrum, though, if this is good to very good. Let me see if I can get the video right here. Oh, no, I got to go this way. If it's good to very good, then we go all the way to great, Hall of Fame greats, and we're out of the picture. So I don't know where he is. But Aaron Rodgers was so good that, and Brett Favre was so good that they were able to carry teams that were not talented. Like, they didn't have good defenses. They had guys that were limited in their passing game. They had years where their run game stunk. These are all things we're going to find out now that Jordan Love has his big contract. Because now the expectations are there. And I don't think he'll wilt under the expectations, but we will find out just how great he is. And we need to find that out in the coming weeks and months and NFL seasons ahead of us. All right, we'll continue with our Wildy's Mailbox questions. I am going to guess Adam Stenovich is at the podium now. I would say there's a chance that by 11 o'clock, Rob won't quite be ready for us with the coordinator access at Lambeau Field. So we may have him and we may not. But he will join us at some juncture during the course of the 11 o'clock hour. But we'll get to more of your questions for Wildy's Mailbox. We'll do that next after Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light. So here's Tausch with more Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're on vacation, relaxing in the summer heat, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans, this is 100.5 ESPN.
What I want, you've got, that it might be hard to handle. Continuing our Wildy's Mailbox edition of Wildy and Tausch. Jesse, let's get to a couple of texts, and then if we have to bleed over into the 11 o'clock hour, we will do so, so Rob can get situated after the coordinator access comes to its conclusion.
Before we get to the text, I see the people in the YouTube comments are complaining that we don't read the YouTube comments, but we do read the YouTube comments. Should we just ask them to text the show, or should we actually incorporate more of the YouTube comments?
Yeah, so I was thinking about, it's funny actually that you would bring this up, because we did the special breaking news edition of the Jordan Love contract, and I actually went back because I was curious about how it looked, because it was scramble mode, man. It was all hands on deck except for all the hands that were unavailable.
I was one of them. Yep.
Alex Strofe, I'm talking to you too. And hey, you guys all had days off. You, Tao, Shim, all good. You had no idea it was going to happen. And I think kind of like Tao. Yeah, beautiful. But so it was hastily thrown together. I was really proud of our team that we got the job done and it turned out great, but I did want to see what it looked like. And I saw that there were a lot of people that comment during the live stream. Here's the problem that I have. I got a lot going on here. Like Pooh Bear, I'm a bear of little brain. And so trying to monitor text messages from within the show, tweets, text messages from other people, like Bill Johnson tweeting me during the show or texting me during the show. Like, I got a lot going on and knowing when to read things. I'm not complaining about my job. I love my job. But I cannot monitor YouTube comments. And let's be honest, the addition of YouTube has been awesome for us. We love it. And we love all of you that watch us on YouTube. Unfortunately,
thank you, YouTube.
The problem is that those... All right, Caitlin Nelson. The problem is that those comments go by, and we got a lot of other stuff going on. So it's not like you can curate them as easily as checking your mentions on Twitter or seeing the comments on Facebook. They don't stay there. You got to go scrolling through and everything else. So, look, we definitely are not discriminating against YouTubers.
I might be.
Jesse just can't handle getting to your comments. So, Jesse, here's what I want you to do. During the Rob Domofsky portion of the program, whenever that occurs, you go back and scroll back at the comments. You find a couple questions for Wildy's Mailbox that we can utilize. Now, with all that said, let's get to a couple quickly before the end of the 10 o'clock
hour. Maybe I just don't think the YouTube comments are any good. Ian and East Troy on the text line. Just to touch on the development aspect, do you think they will continue, the Packers, will they continue to draft late-round quarterbacks, or is it more important to draft other positions with the hopes that you find a starter in the late rounds opposed to a backup quarterback? Ian and East Troy.
I would just say this. Goody made that comment. They did take a seventh-round flyer on Michael Pratt. You know, they obviously liked Sean Clifford, who started 50 games at Penn State, because they picked him in the fifth round. That's not a late pick. Corey Linsley was a fifth round pick. My trouble with this is always, Dontayvion Wicks was a fifth round pick. My trouble with this is there are diamonds in the rough, and sometimes they're quarterbacks, but a lot of times they're other position players. Like, Micah Hyde was a sixth round pick, right? So I don't know how much, if I'm a Packers fan, I want annual flyers on quarterbacks at the back end of the draft. I'd rather you take a flyer on a Mark Tauscher, on an Adam Timmerman, on a Donald Driver. There's a lot of really good stories of guys that have worked out as late picks that have become key contributors. Carrington Valentine last year started 14 games as a seventh-round pick. Anthony Johnson, who is a seventh-round pick from last year, played 300 snaps on defense last year and has been rotating with the starters along with Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, opposite of X. So I don't think they're going to do it every year. That's a fun thing to say. But unless there's a guy worth it, and yeah, maybe you'll find your Brock Purdy. But you probably won't. Jesse, one more text, and then Demo's going to join us at 11:15.
Caitlin and Madison, my Packers question. Now that Jordan's contract is settled, what are the biggest questions left to be answered as the season approaches?
Yeah, there's one above all else, Caitlin, and that is, how good is this defense really? Again, I mentioned this earlier in the show. Jordan Love was on NFL Network with Steve Smith and Tom Pelissero. It was great to see Tom. He's one of my favorite people, and he's really made it big on NFL Network. He was with us for a long time in Green Bay on the beat, and he's a fantastically talented guy. But among his questions to Jordan Love, since the contract had been resolved, was about the defense, and Jordan Love just raved about how difficult that defense has made it on him. So I want to see, and the question that I need to have answered is, just how good is it going to be? Because have you heard a negative word? And rarely is heard a discouraging word about Jeff Hafley and his scheme. Like, it's all puppy dogs and ice cream and sunshine and rainbows and balloons right now. If it's as good as we're talking about it being, look out. Because you got a bunch of really aggressive guys that are excited to be aggressive and not be passive. And there's going to be some opportunities. You know, we're seeing balls get intercepted. We're seeing the Packers offense struggle against it. We'll see if Jordan Love can have more success as he gets warmed up. But to me, that's the biggest question. The other questions, who's going to catch more passes? Who are they going to? They're still figuring out their offensive line a little bit. What is Jordan Morgan going to do? There are plenty of questions to answer Caitlin's question, but the defense is number one. All right, Jesse's going to curate some YouTube questions.
I like my new war with the YouTube commenters.
You like to stir the pot. You're a pot stirrer.
Well, I mean, the texters, they're putting in more work to try and get in on the show. The YouTube, like,
well,
you're
no,
watching
wait a minute.
This, click, you're good. Like, you got to earn it.
How's it more work?
Because if you're texting us, you got to get your phone out. You might be at work, so you got to like sneak the text. If you got,
but you're right. You're typing either way, right? You're either typing into YouTube.
Yeah, but when you're watching
you're
on YouTube, it's right there. You just click, type, enter. It's text. You got to get the phone number right. You got to send it in. There's more work involved. You got to sign your name and where you're from. Can't be anonymous. You got all these fake names in the YouTube comments, Mr. 36, among others. Yeah.
Wow, Leroy Butler watches the show on YouTube.
Maybe. Yeah.
What do you know? All right. Well, Jesse, good luck curating those from the people that you're putting down. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Rob will join us at 11:15 and talk about what the coordinators had to say. That is all still ahead. So stick around. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes. Thanks a lot.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.